Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the top of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, we would like to share it with you. The number 844-322-2742. It's available in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. If you have something you'd like to talk about with us, we'd like to talk about it with you. So give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to talk about a verse that we've actually looked at earlier in the year when we were dealing with apologetics, and it is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and it says this, "But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, and always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you." So the word defense, making a defense, is the Greek word apologia, which is the word that we get apology, apologetics from. And that's what it means to make a defense, to make a case for something. And so out there in the world today, the authority of the Word of God, the reality of the resurrection, did Christ exist? Those are the questions that skeptics are asking. And so as we read the Bible, we examine the evidence, we make a defense against those criticisms. So that's how most of us look at this particular passage. But when you put it in the context, it's in the context of suffering. So we all suffer as believers in Christ. If Christ suffered, we're going to suffer along with him. We're going to share in his sufferings. And that's an honor. That's a blessing to be able to share in those sufferings, to take a stand for truth, to be able to love people in spite of what the world tells us to do, which is something completely different. Yeah. So Peter talks about living a holy life. Let your behavior be holy. Let it be holy in all that you do. Well, what does that look like? It looks a lot like love. Well, when the world looks on and sees us loving in spite of our circumstances, they're going to ask questions. What in the world is going on with you that enables you to live in that manner as opposed to what we normally see out there in the world? Mm-hmm. And so the context is suffering. Verse 14 says this, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sakes, you will be blessed," or "you shall be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your heart, set apart the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you." So these folks, they may trouble you, but have no fear. Just be prepared to give an answer for why you are living the way that you live. And it gets back to that living hope. You've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You are you're able to live a holy life because you have the Holy One living in you. And he has set you apart. He has made you holy. And so as you trust him, as you walk by faith in Christ, as you entrust your soul to him, then the Holy One is going to make his life manifest to the world within the sphere of influence that you live in. So that's what it means to make a defense of this hope that is within you. And in the context, it's a whole lot different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. There's, you know, we always hear this verse out of context and we think, okay, it's my turn to go stand on the street corner and yell at people. That's not what this is about. It really isn't. And in fact, he talks about with gentleness and respect. I mean, this is the whole package. When you allow the Spirit to work through you, literally, people are going to see that you're different. They may not like it, but at least they're seeing that you're different and you're not being nasty about it. It's just the way you are, and that causes conversations quite often.
Yes, and you're different. Not because of your behavior, but because
it's from the
different
inside.
One is alive, yes, living in you, Jesus Christ. And so your life flows from his life. You're sharing his life. And that's what looks different out there in the world. And, you know, we address some issues in 1 Peter 3 which this verse is in, on Friday's edition. Yeah. There's some hard passages about wives, you know, not adorning themselves as the world does. And the situation there is a wife, a believing wife, married to an unbelieving husband. Well, what is that going to look like as far as she is concerned? How is she going to win him? And it comes through respecting him.
Yes.
Well, that's not what the world would be pressing her to do. That's not what the world would ask her to do or tell her to do. And so there's this external pressure coming upon her to conform to the patterns of this world. And yet she has a living hope, Christ himself living in her. And so her best way forward is to entrust herself to Jesus Christ. And so as she does, then she's going to start loving her husband, serving him in ways that look different than the way non-believing wives would be serving their husbands. And so she's going to be giving him respect. She's going to be showing him her inner beauty that comes from the guidance and the leading and the shaping of the Holy Spirit. That's going to look different. Well, what is he going to ask her? Because he's not going to treat her as, is not going to love her as Christ loved the church. He has no idea what that is all about.
Yes.
So he's going to be treating her differently. So there's this suffering coming at her from very close, from a husband. And he's going to look at her and say, wow, she's responding so much differently. She's showing me respect. She's showing me love. I've got to ask, what is the reason for the hope that is within you? And now she has a great opportunity
Yes.
to share, to talk. A husband loving the wife as Christ loved the church. Same type reality. And that's what this context is all about.
Yes.
Suffering within your circumstances, because you're a believer, yet you continue to entrust your soul to Jesus Christ. He makes himself known through you. The world takes notice. Why? Because Jesus is different from the world.
Yes.
That's what this is all about.
And that's the good stuff that it is about. Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and again, welcome, everybody. It's the 3 o'clock hour, the first half of it anyway, and if you have a question you'd like to share with us, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. You know, everybody who makes a gift to Basic Gospel during the month of August is going to receive this very special gift back from us. It's a brand new video series by Bob and Richard. It's called Your Living Hope, and it's produced to help you stand firmly in the grace of God, even under the pressures of the world, the pressures you face every day to conform to the patterns of the world. We want you to have a copy. It's called, as I said, Your Living Hope, and you can do that by making a contribution this month, and you can do that at basicgospel.net. Just click donate, or you can call that same number, 844-322-2742. That's available 24 hours daily, 844-322-2742. And if you live outside the U.S. and Canada, you can use PayPal as the best opportunity to make your contribution to Basic Gospel. Well, guys, we had had an email from a listener, Susanna, in Arlington, and this reminds me of something that a former staff member went through many years ago, and it was a wonderful illustration. But again, this is from Susanna in Arlington. She says, I've had a 23-plus year career as a business owner in an industry that is changing quickly in how products are being sold. My livelihood is in danger due to changes in one company's contracts with us. You should know that none of this is happening overnight, but a progression over the next 3, 5, maybe 10 years. It's left me scared and running to other business opportunities and options, which have not panned out as well as I thought and have cost money to try to start. I guess I'm wondering, do I just trust that it will all be okay, or do I keep pushing to try to make other endeavors work? I'm fearful that I'll be 55 or 60 with no income. Do I keep pushing to make a preemptive strike just in case? When it's not panning out, is that a sign that he wants me to just rest in him? She goes on to say, my husband wants me to rest, but we work together, so all of our financial eggs are in one basket, and we have nothing else to fall back on. I realize it may not be as bad as I make it out to be in my mind, but growing up with uncertainty has made me fearful of not knowing, despite my love and trust in Jesus. Thank you. I love your ministry and help.
Well, the world is always changing, constantly changing. What was once a very secure option and a secure position starts to crumble, starts to unravel. And with that comes all sorts of thinking about what this might look like in the future. And that's where anxieties and sometimes even depression can come from, just projecting out there in the future and always painting the darkest, bleakest, blackest picture that you can possibly paint in your mind.
Right.
And your emotions just respond to what's going on up there in what you're thinking. So you have that issue. So how can we keep our minds in the present? Well, I think the best way to do it is just look at what's happening today. Just look at the blessings that are happening today. Now, we want to see the story. We want to see exactly where we're going to end up. God doesn't give us that opportunity. He doesn't lift the curtain of the future and say, here's what it's going to look like for you 2 years from now, 5 years from now, or 10 years from now. He just says, I'm going to give you enough light to take a step today and just leave the results of the future in my hands. We're in this together. We're journeying together. So let's just keep walking one step at a time. Now, that's how we control our emotions. Now, if your industry is starting to change, and you're not sure that you like the new compensation structure or whatever it might be, then I think at that point you say, what are some other options? What are some things that I can explore to see if there's something else out there? So you do that not based on fear, but based on just common sense and wisdom. And then you kind of look and see, and if you're gonna make a switch, you're gonna have to know that there's gonna be some hard work, that things aren't just gonna pan out for you overnight. That it's gonna take some time. But I think if you know this person is in it with her husband, then the two of them kind of make a decision and say this is where we're going. And I think hard work and persistence will bring about a return somewhere in the future. When? Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But
yeah, she said something interesting, and I'm paraphrasing. Should I rest or should I move forward and take the risk?
Both.
Yes. you don't rest and sit around doing nothing. Resting in Christ can be an incredibly active time, but the rest is that you allow him to calm you down, to keep you in the present, as you were just describing, and to kind of reveal things to you as you move along, and then the picture begins to form of what do we do next.
Yeah.
So it's not an either-or.
Yes.
It's Christ is your life. Whether your life is good, bad, or in between, Christ is your life. And that realization is what makes it possible to deal with the circumstances as
right,
they come up.
Right. Now, all of us in this room, mm-hmm. you know, have asked questions about staying in the ministry or going to find something else out there in the world.
Yep.
At different times, at various times, and for various reasons, those kind of forks in the road kind of hit us and say, should I go this way or that way? And I know for all of us, we basically said we believe the Lord moved us in this direction, mm-hmm. You know, called us out of our other work situations and said, do this. And so we've been doing this. And oftentimes the situation hasn't been pleasant, hasn't been easy, hasn't been, you know, just a bed of roses. But the unction of the Holy Spirit inside just kept us moving forward. So said, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to leave the results of that in God's hands. Now, were there scary moments? Did we proceed without any anxious feelings, without any worries about what tomorrow will be? Absolutely not. There were all kinds of worries. There were all kinds of fears.
Oh, never for me.
Yeah, and but yet we're going to say, hey, we're going to move forward anyway and leave the results of it in God's hands. And as we did, those fears and those anxieties and those worries started to calm down. And this confidence in God's provision, God's protection, God's wisdom started to bubble up within. And I think that's the way it is for everyone.
Yes.
You know, these fears, they're not unusual. That's just being a human being. But you don't want to make decisions out of those fears. You want to make decisions based on your trust in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So keep trusting, keep moving forward, keep looking. And I think you're going to get some clear-cut answers, you know, as you keep walking down that path.
Probably. And probably not going to end up on the street selling pencils.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Well, Bob and Richard, as I said earlier, we are offering our listeners something very, very valuable, I believe, this month. We always do, but I think this has a very special value, this DVD called Your Living Hope. Bob, tell us what this series was designed to do.
Well, it was designed to help you as a believer in Christ to be able to stand firm in the grace of God instead of caving in to the pressures of this world. We all feel the pressures. We feel them every single day. Sometimes those pressures are really strong. The forces of the world just are mounting like water behind the Hoover Dam. I mean, you can just feel it.
Yeah.
And you just want to cave. You just want to buckle. You just want to give in and say, to heck with it all. How do you stand firm? And there is hope for you to stand firm. And that hope is not based on your human effort, not your willpower, not on your self-discipline. It is based on the very power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is within you because you've been born again unto that living hope. That's what 1 Peter is all about. Now, I just watched through the video today. And let me tell you, it will be a blessing in your life. I guarantee it. Just watching through it and just hearing you and I talk through 1 Peter. And it wasn't what we were saying. It's just the power of the words within this letter that are so meaningful, so relevant to our day and age that we're living in. So if you're feeling the pressure from the world to conform, to give in, to cave, to buckle, you've got hope. You've got a living hope. His name is Jesus. And this particular DVD, this video series, will help connect you in such a way that you will be able to stand firm in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to resist the pressures of this world, and I think flourish as a believer. And you will see that your faith in Christ is really genuine.
Absolutely.
There is something real there that maybe you didn't know was there.
Yeah. Well, Bob and Richard have produced this DVD series, Your Living Hope. And friends, we want you to have a copy of it, and one can be yours as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can call our toll-free number 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742, to make your gift. And we hope you'll do so. We'd like to get a copy of this DVD series into your hands, Your Living Hope. Well, once again, guys, a question from Tom, and we go a long way backwards with questions on this particular issue, but he says, after some research, I discovered that 1 John 1:9 was written to believers, not unbelievers. You mentioned that this chapter was addressed to unbelievers. Please help. That's from Tom in Menlo Park, California.
Well, that's a good question, and certainly there's great dispute as to the audience that John was addressing. What we do know is that somebody wrote John a letter, or somebody got word to John and said, we got problems, help.
Yes.
You're the last apostle remaining, and we need some authority on how to handle some issues. So there were some issues that were going on within a church group, and they needed corrected. So what was happening? There was a group of people within this assembly that were saying some outlandish things.
Yeah.
Some of those outlandish things were this: they did not sin. They had not sinned, and they would never sin. They were saying that. Well, so John wrote and said, if you say you're without sin, you've deceived yourself, and the truth is not in you. So you're not a Christian if you're saying you're without sin. You're deceived. And if the truth is not in you, you're certainly not a Christian. And if you're saying you haven't sinned, you're making God out to be a liar. Well, that's not a Christian.
No.
Now, there were other people who were saying, and I think it was the same group, was saying that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. And if Jesus didn't come in the flesh, then we have no good news. He didn't die on the cross to take away our sins. He wasn't raised physically. And if that's the case, then we're without hope. But there was a group that said that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. And the reason they said that he did not come in the flesh is because they believed that all flesh was evil, only spirit was good.
Yes.
And if Jesus came in the flesh, then he would have been evil. And how could somebody who was evil die for the rest of humanity? So they were consistent in their belief system, but they were consistently wrong. So John said, if you believe that Jesus did not come in the flesh, then you're Antichrist.
Yeah.
You are functioning under the control of the spirit of Antichrist. You can't be a Christian and Antichrist at the same time. So within this assembly, there were those that were definitely not saved, who were promoting heretical teaching, damaging teaching, and then there were those who were saved that were being confused by this heretical teaching.
Yes.
They were losing their assurance of salvation. They were starting to question their belief system. So John wrote to address the heretics and to offer an invitation to them to believe and receive and join the true fellowship.
Yes.
He also wrote to the believers to provide a sense of assurance. So who's he writing to? He's writing to that guy, whoever it was, who reached out to him and said, help. And he's addressing those people who needed help.
Yeah.
Some were Christians, some were not. So in chapter 1, John speaks with an editorial we. It's an all-inclusive. It's a general way of addressing a whole group of people. In the second chapter, he changes from an editorial we to my little children. So you know there he's addressing true Christians, true
yes.
believers. Why? To warn them about those who are out there trying to deceive them and to give them some assurance. So that's how John wrote this letter. So look at the context. If he's writing to people who say they've never sinned, who've deceived themselves, those aren't Christians. And he's writing to offer them truth
yes.
and to invite them into the true fellowship. If he's writing to say, hey, I'm bringing you assurance, he's writing to Christians. So let's not, you know, try to say, hey, this is just for Christians. Let's recognize that, hey, if you're in any church today, you're going to have Christians and non-Christians. And
yes.
the guy standing up there in the pulpit, at some point, he's going to address those that aren't Christians, and he's going to give an invitation. To those who are, he's going to offer hope and encouragement and build them up in the faith.
Yeah.
That's just how we do things. That's
yes.
how John did things in this first letter.
Yeah.
So who was he addressing? That guy who had sent him information, who said, hey, we've got some folks who are lost, some folks who are saved. Here are the problems. Help. So he wrote to help. Yes.
Great answer. And Tom, hope that's a help to you as well. And thanks to everyone who writes. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, drop it to bob@basicgospel.net. And please remember, friends, that Basic Gospel depends upon your prayers and generosity to keep the good news on the air. And with your donation in the month of August, as I said before, we have that very special gift for you that Bob Christopher was talking about. It's called Your Living Hope. It's a brand new DVD series that's produced by Bob and Richard. So click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742 and we'll send you a copy of Your Living Hope. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or just click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody, for Bob and Richard and the entire ministry team. Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.